Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country, the place for American patriots to come together as one united people, for Americans to come together as one nation under God. Today is Wednesday, May 15th, 2013. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Tonight is our weekly show on Truth About Education with Diane Kipas. And tonight she has a special guest, Francisco Rodriguez, and he's with the Florida 10th Amendment Center, which the 10th Amendment Center, when you talk about state sovereignty and education, is critical to the whole discussion about Common Core in education. Diane seems to be having a technical difficulty with her phone, so she'll be with us here in just a minute. But before we get started, and while we take care of that problem, the couple of things I wanted to mention tonight, just as a follow-up, tomorrow night we will have the show on Americans United to Protect the American Freeway. Last week I had to skip it. I had planned on having the show, but unfortunately got tied up on some other things and was not able to have the show, but we will be there tomorrow night, so please tune in. And then the other is something that's really interesting that's going on right now. It's directly related to education, and you may have heard about it. The German family, Ramoki family, they're being deported thanks to our wonderful administration being sent back to Germany. And if you haven't heard about their case, you can go out there on the website. It's the Homeschooling Legal Defense Association, which is HSLDA.org, and I have it up in the chat room. This German family came here to the U.S. legally. They are legal immigrants. They fled Germany because they were not allowed to homeschool their children, and now our country is forcing them out. Would somebody explain to me why our country would force these people to go back into Germany against their will, where they were not allowed to raise their children as Christians and not allowed to homeschool their children? This is supposed to be America. We can keep all the illegal immigrants here, but we can't keep a legal family who isn't leeching off the system, who came here because they wanted freedom, wanted to homeschool their children, and we have an administration who's forcing them out. The whole thing is just totally disgusting. Homeschool Legal Defense Association is working with them, trying to help get them to be able to stay, but our administration wants to throw them out. The White House occupier, as I usually refer to him, they're trying to throw them out. Why would we want legal immigrants in this country? The whole thing is just nuts. And then the other, I have been trying to get Senator Rubio, who's all for amnesty and illegal immigrants. I've been trying to find out what his position is on Common Core, and I want to find out what his position is about this issue with this German family. So if anybody happens to know, I can't get an answer out of him in his office. I'm going to call again tomorrow, but I cannot get an answer. And then the other thing, things like this, I mean, our country is chaos out there right now. It's total chaos. And when you look around, it's like we are falling, people. We are falling. We're falling fast if we don't change our ways. This thing with this German family is just so disgraceful to me. And it all comes down to what Common Core is. They don't want to have homeschooling in this country. They don't think the parents have the right to homeschool their children. And they want Common Core. And I'm telling everybody out there, when you say Common Core, say Common Core communism. Because that's what it is. Common Core is communism. And that's where it came from. Common property. Public property. Common property. You don't own anything. Communism. So community property type of thing. So please keep that in mind. And then, that's the main thing I'm going to start with. Let's see if we've got Diane here. I think we may have her now. Let's see. Hey, Diane, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you?
Okay, I want to make sure we're having some technical difficulties out there. And let's see here.
Okay. We're supposed to have a guest on tonight.
Your guest is already here. So let me go ahead and turn the show over to you. Because, again, this is Diane is our host tonight, Diane Kipas. and she's going to talk about truth about education, and she has her special guest, which we have with us now, too. And on that note, Diane, it is all yours.
Thank you, Sally. Francisco, are you there?
Yes, I am, Diane. How are you doing?
I am doing fine. I'd like to introduce to everybody Francisco Rodriguez. He's the outreach director for the Florida 10th Amendment Center. And I have recently become very pleased to find out how he and Andrew Nappy are against the Common Core. And I thought you might enjoy having him address the issue of Common Core in relationship to the 10th Amendment. We already know that they have broken several constitutional laws in the implementation of the Common Core standards, and there are three or four national bills, education bills, that address the fact that the Department of Education has no authority in any way regarding curricula, instruction, materials, all kinds of different things. So, Francisco, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you so much. Well, I think we have to take a step back before focusing specifically on Common Core and deal with how the money comes in with regard to Common Core and what departments of the national government, the federal government, that money comes from. And it comes from the Department of Education. And if you know anything about the history of the Department of Education, it didn't exist prior to the 1970s. It was actually, I believe, 1979, the Department of Education came into existence. And the reason for that is if you study a very small section of the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, you'll see that there is no enumerated power for the federal government to deal with education in any way. And when you see that there's nothing enumerated, when it's not specifically permitted to do anything legally with regard to a specific subject, then the federal government has to defer to the 10th Amendment, which says any power is not delegated to the federal government by the Constitution or prohibited by it to the states is reserved for the states respectively or the people. So you have the Constitution limiting federal power by saying you're not permitted to be in education. The Department of Education enters in the 1970s with a few other departments previous to that that were just doing measurements, that were just kind of analyzing how we were doing in our education system. They weren't injecting themselves as much, but in the 1970s they began to dramatically inject themselves into our local education systems. We used to have a very decentralized education systems with a lot more local control, and that's quickly become more and more centralized as the years have gone on. So we at the 10th Amendment Center are firm believers that, number one, the federal government has no jurisdiction here. Number two, the states have a not only a right but a duty to stand in between the federal government and the people as the rightful remedy to limit the federal government's power. We didn't believe it had it during Bush's No Child Left Behind, and then obviously it doesn't have it beyond that in the Race to the Top programs, and now you have Common Core. Each of those programs attempted to give the state of Florida another noose to hang itself, if you will, and tie it to the federal government's rulings on education, and really a force that is outside of the scope of the federal government. So we are adamantly against it. We have a lot of bills going on in different states that are not initiated by the 10th Amendment Center yet. We're working on it. We've just gotten through the legislative session. So one of our hopeful itineraries will be to address Common Core in 2014, and we look forward to partnering with a lot of groups, specifically in the state of Florida and hopefully around the country. And we don't just want to partner in the state of Florida. We want to partner on local levels and on individual levels so that we can begin to have some significant momentum with those that are not only against Common Core but against the federal government's intrusion in education.
Golly, I've got a whole bunch of questions running through my head. I'm sure you're aware of the lack, well, and maybe that's a good thing, a lack of legislation that took place last session in regard to Common Core. And we did manage to, how it happened, we don't know, the data tracking bill, because it had been passed in the House and the Senate and was back into the House again, and they just kind of walked away from it on Friday. We're not quite sure what happened. But, you know, the one thing we keep hearing from everybody, the superintendents, the school boards, and, of course, I know they've been sent out to go to classes and all kinds of things to know what to say to who. You have the governor telling the school board members and the superintendents, don't pay attention to people like you and me. We're just conspiracy theorists, and he's going to protect them. Any suggestions on how we get around this, other than being able to really get the legislators to be willing to be educated?
Yeah, educating the legislators sometimes feels like an act of futility. So I think the first step, the place that is the most important to start is really where we live. And if you're against Common Core as an individual, as a family, as a group of people, maybe a group of friends or a church organization or some other organized group, if you're against that, then you have kind of a decision to make. And are you willing to make that? And that's if you're willing to have an exodus from the public school system. That's a very personal decision, and I think that that's one that would be encouraged if you're against anything that happens in the public education system, and to begin that process of moving your child or children out of that system. So that's the first step. The second step would be to move to coordinate with local people and determine whether your school board members are in support or against of Common Core. And if they're in support of Common Core, then you have to develop a strategy to remove them. They have a very short shelf life. And I've co-authored a book called The Neighborhood Project, which gives you a very specific strategy on how to take back political power in a longer-term way. I think it could be done in just a couple of years, but specifically for this issue, if you need to remove a school district board member, then there's a strategy for doing that. If you have one that's in support, or I'm sorry, that is against Common Core, then it's important to support them and to encourage others to support them and to put pressure on the members that are for Common Core and developing a coalition of people in their neighborhoods, literally in the zip codes where they have jurisdiction, where they're representing. It's important to knock on those neighbors' doors, get them involved in a small piece of the process, and then begin to petition and inject into them the responsibility to limit federal power on a local level. And then moving forward towards the state legislature, the same things apply. The state legislatures have a short shelf life as well, and so it's important to find out who is in support of the people and against Common Core so that you can put your support behind them and effectively engage with them, and talk is cheap. We live in a day and time where, and we have been for I would say the last 12 years, we've lived in a season that talk is very cheap. You need to find out what they've said, what their comments are, and then you need to begin to work on their individual neighborhoods, and they need to have a reputation because of you, because of the effort that you're putting out locally that says they are against individual liberty, they're against the rights of parents, which is not a right given by government. The rights of parents is an inherent right that you have a right to determine what your child learns, and it's against individual rights. So if that is so the case with your representative or a representative you know, then I would encourage you to very strategically, systematically, and daily, and when I say daily, I mean literally after you brush your teeth in the morning, you ask yourself the question, what will I do for liberty today? And it will be a single conversation with one, two, maybe three neighbors to begin moving the momentum in the right direction. And I don't think you'll find it difficult to find neighbors that agree with you. In my estimation, there are hundreds of thousands of active liberty-minded people in the state of Florida, and the tragic part is that we don't know that there's some right there in our neighborhoods, and we need to know that more frequently so that we can join together and actually change the paradigm in Tallahassee. I'm not so concerned about D.C. because I think that once you do it in our state, then D.C. has no choice but to follow, as we're going to see with the 10th Amendment bills that are happening in a number of states with regard to gun laws. So the federal government will fall in line. So our focus is on the state legislatures, on the local officials, and that's the steps that I would take. And then, of course, going back to the individual, we have to get back to the fact that the responsibility is on us. The responsibility is on us personally, and we need to encourage, we need to engage with our friends and our neighbors and say, hey, how can we support you? What support can we give you to make a decision that would remove your home, your children from the harm that this will cause? And maybe you won't be able to get rid of Common Core now, but at least you've removed your child from the place where it'll be most detrimental at first. So making those personal decisions is the very first step.
Well, I know I was really caught off guard when I found out that, at least here in Florida, that some of the Catholic dioceses had actually taken stimulus money. I didn't even know it was offered to them. And I only found that out because in drawing in people into this cause, there's a lot of them, the homeschoolers and the ones that have their children in private or parochial school. Of course, initially when they first found out about it, thought that they were protected, and they have found out since then that they're not, seeing how they, right, you know, managed to put this in a barrel with the SATs at the end. I have a friend who is working on this with me from up in the panhandle, and she came up with an idea yesterday about why don't we as a state create our own SAT tests or our own college entrance exams for our own state-driven colleges and universities. I thought it sounded like a really good idea.
I think
now,
it's a good tactic.
They go along with it, that's another thing. I found when we were in Tallahassee, the legislators, for the most part, were totally ignorant to the Common Core. They had heard of it. They had no idea what all was involved in it. You had some that knew little bits and pieces. I found that most of the Democrat legislators were totally against it. The Republicans seemed to be taking Jeb Bush's lead, which is another battle that we have here.
Yep.
And I know in the data tracking bill, Senator Galvano, we kind of took that one as the lead one that we were going to work against. And Dr. Karen Ephraim had done the analysis back against his bill. And when he read her analysis, he was really thrown off guard because he said to Randy Osborne, who was working as our lobbyist, that, well, that isn't what I wanted in my bill. That isn't what I meant. So for me, the first question is, who the heck's writing your bill?
Yeah.
I know this time it's not Alec because Alec is against Common Core. But my second question to him, if I had been there, would have been, well, okay, you tell somebody what you want in a bill, what your goal is, you get the bill back, don't you read it before you put it on the floor? Obviously not.
Yeah.
So this is something else that we're going to have to try to, and I guess that's what happens in D.C. too. And how many times we get all this stuff. I was amazed at the one bill which did get passed. I think it was it 1076? It was the one that laid out part of the new, how the merit system is going to be set up as far as the credits toward their different subjects for graduation, et cetera.
Sure, yeah.
And they actually had it broke out into two sections. One for those going directly to, one was going to college, and the other one said industrial. I mean, that's about as blatant as you can get for school to work.
That's very blatant for school to work.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a caller who has a question for you guys.
Good.
And the last four digits are 8925. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Sharon. Thanks for taking my call. I was trying to type it in, but it's a little too much. My problem here is in Broward County, Florida, and I need a little guidance on how to proceed and I guess, handling it here. Our superintendent is a guy named Robert Runcy, I guess is how you say his last name. And prior to becoming the superintendent in Broward County Schools, he was a founder as well as the information technology director for a company called Advanced Data Concepts out in Chicago. And that got sold to a company called CSG. And if you go to their website and see what they do exactly what appears to me to be the data collection part of Common Core in helping to implement it. They do work with other government entities and states. I just don't know how to approach this because I'm sure the superintendent, you know, has his talking points at hand and is going to be able to shut anybody down, especially with his background, because I'm sure that's how it, you know, why he was shipped to Broward County. But any suggestions would be helpful.
Desperately, did you not have a meeting with the school board on Monday night?
Yes, we did.
Well, I sent out emails to everybody that I knew in Broward County on Monday because I had talking points for you guys to take with you. And you could have cut them up, passed them out to everybody there, and you could have each taken your 3 minutes or whatever, and you can still do that. And just go to the next meeting because, but you don't ever, the information I send to you, don't ever pass it out as one whole entity because you don't ever want the other side to get a hold of it so they can know ahead of time the questions you're going to ask and have a rebuttal before you even start because they will lie their way through it. Some of them because they don't know how to get away from it, and some of them who have just actually been convinced of the Common Core. But if you email me at info@flcommoncore.net, I will send you those talking points.
Okay, I made up something of my own with some links for people to read that I passed out at the end of it. I tried to catch as many parents coming out as I could. So,
you want to stand up at that podium and get on the record, and you can do it every meeting.
There was no podium. It was very, very informal. It was
a
presentation.
Did they not get a microphone or something to talk into?
No. Only the presenter had a microphone at the front of the auditorium. Everyone got to ask questions, but...
I wrote up a series of questions to ask the school board. They're not going to answer you, but you're once again, you're on record.
That's what I need, because one of the school board members was there also.
Yeah.
They only called on you, you know, as they saw the hands, and there were a lot of, the few parents that were there, there were a lot of questions and bantering back and forth, and I just never got called on, which was fine, you know. My main thing was to try to get some information, links to the parents as they were coming out anyway. But, I would love to have, I will email you, because I would love to have some of the information that you can provide me for sending emails or phone calls with the school board members, most definitely. Who am I speaking with? Is this Diane?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great. Fantastic.
Francisco's on here, too. I think he wants to give you some advice.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
I need all I can get.
Well, I was gonna ask, you know, I jumped on the Broward County School Board, and I was just wondering if any of the school board members, if there's any chance that they might be against Common Core, any of them individually.
Maybe one. I know we've reached out to one who's not too sure if she's against it. She's convinced that it's nothing we can do.
Sure. So, and that's, as much as she would vote against it, she would know that she has a majority. If any of them have made a statement in support of Common Core, then it's important to get their district number, find out where they represent, get a map of their representative district, and then begin to reach out to people. And I'm actually one county above you. I'm in Palm Beach. And I'd be happy to get some people that are in the districts of the people that are against it to the frequency of phone calls. It's amazing. You do one, two, three phone calls, and they think that half the district is against them if they get the same phone call. So that's one way to start. Also encouraging people to show up to the meetings and Diane, to have questions is spectacular. Having a pile of questions that they can't answer from a number of different people. I like the strategy. You got to do it from having people sit at different positions in the room, so that the people in the middle think that that they're the ones that aren't in line with what everybody else wants. You know, if there's a group that's for Common Core, so.
That's kind of how we did it. I put it out on Facebook because it was all Cooper City residents that got phone calls. Cooper City parents only got phone calls since it was a Cooper City. Now, whether Broward County is doing any more of these presentations, I don't know. I was led to believe possibly not, which I guess means cities and municipalities have to request this. I don't know. But that is kind of how it went down anyway. So people were positioned in different places, and that is how it went down, but I tell you that the turnout was dismal.
Well, we need to, there's a lot of Liberty people that haven't been aware and been on top of Common Core, sadly, because it's come in pretty quickly, and there were so many things happening in the legislative session that the focus was just on a lot of different things. So my hope is that we can get everybody's attention. Especially there's a good contingent in Broward County and there's a couple of groups that I can help you reach out to. And I'll be happy to be in touch with Diane on how to get in touch.
That would be great.
Yeah,
that would be great. My name is Sharon Taylor. I mean, I know it shows Big Mouth Mom on the thing.
Oh, no, I know who you are.
Oh, okay. So you know where the email's coming from. Okay.
Oh, that's okay. One of the things I think about going to the school board meetings, and we've just moved back to Orange County, so I really have to get busy on them here. I had been working over in Volusia County, but I think when you go to the school board meetings, and even if it's not you every time, if you guys take turns out of a Tea Party group or something, and you just repeatedly show up, ask these different questions, because they're not going to answer you. They're just going to sit there and smile politely. But you're on the record, and you're almost always going to have a reporter there hanging around to see what's going to happen at the school board meeting. Use the words that they're using your children as human capital. I mean, think of those things They're taking away parental rights. Parental rights is a big cue in this because the parents are going to be left with absolutely no choice where their children go to school. And this is the thing that's got everybody a little confused that I've found, and I'd like Francisco to respond to this when I get done. With the push from Jeb Bush for vouchers, school choice, and charter, and we've had the parent trigger bill out there twice, once is the parent empowerment bill and once is the parent trigger bill, but the purpose was the same. What is the point? If they're going to implement Common Core and everybody's being educated the same, what is the purpose for setting up charter schools or having vouchers or doing anything else? So people are getting mixed messages, and they don't understand. When they get to the point when they've thought this out, they're like, well, why are they pushing this over here when all our children are going to end up the same over here? And I think it is just another one of their ploys to make them think that, well, whatever we tell you is right, that's what you'll follow, is whatever we say at the latest moment. So it's a well-planned-out plan. I mean, this has been in the works for years. I mean, you can go back farther than 1992 when Mark Tucker gave Hillary Clinton his famous letter laying out this school-to-work education. But it's actually been in the works for a long, long time. And I have gotten to the point where I call it communism. It is. That's exactly what it is.
Well, let me address that, because your point of it's been in the works for a long time is absolutely correct. And so we have to be as strategic as they are. And Sharon, I think that going to meetings are important, but more importantly than that is literally neighborhood by neighborhood, encouraging specific activity. And I'm not here to push a book. You can go and do the research on your own, but I co-authored a book called The Neighborhood Project. And the idea is that you can gain political power neighborhood by neighborhood, especially with these school district people, because most people aren't participating in the political process. And if you engage them in the way that we walk through there, you'll see that you will get more people to participate, because you're not for any political party. I mean, I don't know if you are, but maybe you are, maybe you're not. But political parties have effectively done the same thing to us. They've taken us in the same direction, one a little faster maybe than the other, but they're all going in the same direction. So focusing on the same way that they approach this systematically way back when, we have to do the same thing, and we have to do it as close to the geography that we live in, because that's the place that we have the biggest impact. You know, going to the school board meeting, you're one of, 2.5 million people in Broward County? That's a smaller impact. You do it in your neighborhood, and all of a sudden you're one of 3,000. Your impact, rises dramatically, and then you find, about 10 other liberty-minded people in your own neighborhood, and the momentum starts to build. So I would encourage you to be as systematic as they have been. That's what, I'm working on that a little bit here in Palm Beach County. I travel quite a bit, but those are the steps to actually taking back those areas that have been taken away. And for Common Core, you'll find groups of homeschoolers packaged in different areas. I'm actually going to be in Broward County on Friday, and maybe we can figure out a way to get together. But I'm going to an event down there on economics. So if the opportunity arises, I'd love to get together with you and talk through more of this. But I think that we have to be as strategic as they have been, and we have to start where we have the biggest impact.
And what is your name, Francisco?
Francisco Rodriguez. Florida 10th.
Why do I know that?
I ran.
I have it in the chat room. It's posted in the chat room. And we do have another caller.
All right, thank you. I don't know how to mute myself out.
I can take care of that for you.
Okay, thank you so much for all the...
Thanks, sir.
Sorry there. Okay, let's go to the other caller. The last four digits, 1774. Caller, you're on the air.
Thank you. I have an advantage. I am in the same district as the next Speaker of the House in the state of Florida, and I have his ear. I have been pumping him on Common Core, and I've gotten a lot of information back. The new governor's budget that he has been bragging about it, that they put $400 per student in the budget for next year. The other thing I found out that I look for Common Core in any line of the state budget. It doesn't exist. They have folded Common Core into Next Generation Florida Sunshine Standards. And that money is now going to come out of that other budget. So you got to be careful now, because they're not going to know what Common Core is anymore. I found out that there's only about 25 of the 67 counties in the state of Florida that received Race to the Top money to fund startup of Common Core. So there's a lot of counties that haven't received any money, haven't started any work on it, and there's about maybe a dozen so that are totally against it. So that's another one of our advantages. Good news today. I found Indiana, state of Indiana, has gone against Common Core, and they're pulling it out of the state. And that's where our glorious Mr. Bennett came from, because he was Common Core up there. He brought his people with him to Tallahassee, and they are the ones that are running the program for the state of Florida. Two people came down from Indiana. So there are now he's got the DOE and his people all together. So that's why you got a solid block out of Tallahassee for Common Core. The other
Sir,
thing,
you, I didn't get your name, but I for one appreciate all this information. My initial thoughts are, develop a coalition of counties that are against Common Core, and maybe focus on a some nullification ideas in those 42 other counties. So that there's some momentum built.
In a meeting, Mr. Bennett's people said they sent out a self-evaluation, Common Core, to all 67 districts. They only received back an 88% return. So that means that you have a bunch of people that don't have any program. And then there were 44% of the 88% that came back saying that they don't have a good program going. So that leaves about 25 counties. That's how I come up with the 25 counties out of the 67 that received Race to the Top money, and they're using that to put Common Core in place. And what I've learned is, to begin with, they're using that money to send their teachers to Common Core school, and that is, I know our county here is, I mean our district here is sending our teachers to a Common Core school. Kind of wonder about that, because you have a 20-year teacher going to Common Core school. How does she feel about being told that she didn't know how to teach? Now she has to do a whole new method of teaching. So that was another interesting thing.
They're retiring.
That's right. They're going to retire. And that's one thing that should be pointed out, that you're going to lose many, many, many of your tenured teachers over Common Core, because they're not going to want to teach Common Core. And the district need to be pumped up on that. I made up a little bit of a paper here, and I started out with the trying to ask Florida educators to provide some hard data that we can that can be presented to the 2 million Florida parents that will be paying the bills for Common Core, and the 2 million students that will carry out the experiment. It's one big experiment and one big gamble. What are we going to get out of it in the end? And no one can tell me what the outcome is supposed to be in the end. And I think that to succeed in boosting the standings of the United States in a global market, that's what they're trying to do, we're going to emulate countries that have 10-hour school days plus 4 hours of homework plus six days a week and sending their kids to school 200 days or more. If our parents and our school systems want to go to that expense, it's the only way they're going to boost us up to their standings in the other countries. And we just don't want to do things like that. They're not educating their kids. As soon as their kids fail in school, they're pushed into the workforce. They don't bother educating anybody above the sixth grade that isn't a gifted type student. One thing in the beginning, you mentioned that No Child Left Behind was a Bush. No, No Child Left Behind was Ed Kennedy in Massachusetts. He was the one that put it in. He was the one that forced it through. So this was Democrat all the way. And as far as the Department of Education, that was Mr. Carter that put Department of Education in place. So
yeah, actually the Republican Party until 1988 had in their platform that the Department of Education was unconstitutional.
Yeah.
And then they pulled it out in 1988.
You still have to remember that at this stage of the game, there is no right or left in this. There is no Republican. There is no Democrat.
Yep.
For the most part, at some level, they have all had their fingers in this pot.
Well,
it's all about money, power, and control. And if you watch, I know we're all thought that we dearly loved Reagan, and there's a lot of things that I loved about Reagan, but it was very disappointing to me when I discovered that he had signed that treaty with Russia while he was president on the technological treaty to share information with Russia. That was not a good thing.
Oh.
And you had George H.W., he was a heavy implementer when he came in there before Clinton on toward the New World Order. So they're on both sides of the street. They just act like they don't like each other, and when nobody's watching, they go and have dinner together. I just find it very disgusting.
There's no left right paradigm. It's all one party. But the reality is that we have to be for liberty, whatever party tyranny is coming from. So I appreciated all the information. I think the best standing that we have is the ideas of nullification, that the role of the state is not to be the administrative arm of the federal government. As the federal government sends money, as my dear friend Andrew Nappy said, possession is 9/10 of the law. Once we have the money, then we just say that it's not. We're not going to spend it the way you told us to, because you have no jurisdiction in this area as the federal government. But in the long term, we have to limit federal power on a daily, on a regular basis in our local offices as well as the state legislature. So that's the position that we can get momentum on. Nullification is pretty bipartisan. People from both sides of the aisle realize that the federal government has stepped outside of its boundaries, no matter who's in power. And so I think there's a lot of momentum that can be built there. And I think the information you gave is hugely valuable, especially with regard to those that have raised to the top dollars versus the one that don't. Maybe a coalition can be built of school board members across the state. That would be school board members against Common Core, Florida school board members against Common Core, and maybe teachers against Common Core, and encourage that momentum to be done through the public school system and then also obviously through our homeschool and private school system so that we can have having a unified education system. Is about as valuable as having one car available on planet Earth. It's not. We want to keep the competition high. We want to keep the value high. We want to keep the cost low, and constantly challenging students to be better. And that doesn't necessarily mean by more time. Sitting behind a desk is not necessarily everyone's most effective way to learn. We think that parents have a better grasp of how to engage their students in education, how to increase their not only the content of what they learn, but also the discipline and the character that's built in order to execute that which they've learned in a more effective way with the people that they're around. So.
Well, it amazes me how the people that are in favor of Common Core, how they could even possibly, if they have read the standards, could honestly and truthfully support them.
They haven't.
Our children are not common. I suggest that children in New York or California or Texas, their learning, I don't want to say capacity, but their whole lifestyle is so different. And education has always played a role in mixing with lifestyle and family and all those things. And to even suggest that they would be willing to try something that, number one, when they agreed to it, wasn't even written yet, that they've never tested it, and one of the things we asked the legislators to do was to give us time to get a cost analysis on this. And they've hinted that they're going to try to do that. But this is why I laugh when the governor talks about how much money he's taking, he's maneuvered around to throw into education, giving the teachers a piddly raise to try to entice them to agree with him on Common Core and be willing to go through all of this. Some of the districts even wanting teachers to sign papers that they will not talk about Common Core. If they talk about Common Core, they're being threatened to be fired. There was one county even wanted to have the children signing a form that they would not go home and talk to their parents about Common Core or say anything. There's an awful lot of deceit in an undercurrent coming to the surface with this. I have a problem. I mean, I don't have a problem with them wanting to hold the teachers accountable. We all have been held accountable to our jobs. That's just a process of going to work. But I have a problem with them holding the teachers accountable for having to teach garbage. You're not going to have anything come out of it but garbage. And I think it's very unfair, and I think there's a lot of teachers out there, from the ones that I have talked to, are against it. They're just afraid to say anything because they know Teach for America is lurking in the background just waiting to put teachers in for the ones that are going to be leaving, and that's just adding fuel to the fire.
Oh, this is Bob again. I put together a few talking points, and when I get involved with somebody, I remind them that the United States was once the greatest nation in the world in education. We developed technology to put a man on the moon. We developed world communications and GPS navigation. And we did all this without the Department of Education, No Child Left Behind, Average Yearly Progress, Race to the Top, or any high-stakes tests. We learned arithmetic without calculators. We used phonics to learn reading. Our teachers commanded respect from their 35 students and still had time for some of the slow learners. And they didn't resort to drugs. School administrators handled finances and the construction, leaving teachers to make up their own lesson plans and do their own thing. We were taught that Mother Nature knows best, not proponents of global warming. And our testing was limited to teacher discretion, and we used the Stanford 9. And if you want to go back to something like the Stanford 9, it would be a heck of a lot cheaper than the state tests we have.
Well, it's still disturbing on the analysis that was done. I can't remember the name of the group off the top of my head. but they did the analysis of different standards from around the country, and as bad as we feel that the previous Sunshine State standards were bad and the FCAP teaching our kids to a test, Florida's standards were rated higher than the Common Core. Now, that's really scary.
Yeah, because we're not exactly one of the top states.
No, we're not. That's one of the things that Jeb Bush tries to tell everybody in relationship to the charter schools. However, what he doesn't tell them is that the charter schools are failing at an 11% faster rate than any traditional public school. I haven't heard of any traditional public schools in the state being closed for a while.
Well, the problem with the charters in our district here is the school systems. I have letters from administrators that two parents telling the parents to take their children out of public schools because they don't have the money to teach someone with ADD or some of the other problems that the kids have. So they push them into charter schools. He clearly just stated, he says, put your child in charter schools. They will have the money to educate your children. And I thought that kind of comical. And then the school board has control of the finances of the charter schools. Charter schools are not failing as much for scholastic things as they are for finances. And that's because the school boards and some of them are just driving them out of business. So
not always the case. If you go online, there is a website that she's done the research on all the charter schools in the country. And it's amazing to me. I have never heard of a traditional public school, the kids showing up for school on Monday morning and there being absolutely nobody there. The problem is that the state of Florida has passed such lenient charter school legislation that if you really get in there and read it, they have taken a lot of the authority away from the district school board in relationship to the charter schools. They have their own school board. And when it comes push to shove, if they want to close a charter school for whatever the reason, a lot of them have just never even gotten enough tables or desks for the kids, enough textbooks. There's been all numerous kinds of things. But when it comes time for them wanting to close them, then they have to have this big hearing. And here comes Charter Schools for America. Here comes KIPP. Here comes K-12. And they're all in there testifying, well, we'll help them fix it. We'll do this. We'll do that. And the school board, the district school board, gets shot down. And then you add on the top of that, the state school board people, of which half of them, as I like to say, are sleeping with Jeb Bush and his foundation. They're in there telling the districts, oh, well, give them another chance. And once again, who's suffering from all of this? The children are. If they stop playing around with the education, I could give them at least 10 beautiful homeschool curriculums that if they taught them in the traditional public schools, our teachers would not have to go back to school, and our kids would be learning like crazy. Or why not just take the curriculum from Finland? I mean, if you really and truthfully want to bring our children up to an excellence level, why are we playing games to dumb them down? That's what I'd like the school boards to answer me.
You can get a little bit of a feel for the cost of what Common Core is going to be from looking at the documents coming out of Mr. Bennett's office. He issued an RFP in the beginning for pre-K through fifth grade, and they got a bunch of textbook companies bidding on those contracts, and the books averaged about $35 a piece. So if you figure that each student would get, say, three books, and then you've got 2 million students, you can do the math, and that's a chunk of cash just for textbooks. In addition, each child has to have a computer station, And that these companies send in hard book requirements, and they also send in online type courses for these kids, which would require the computers. So they lost my train of thought here. Then if you you pack in all the teacher problems that they'd have to hire a bunch of new teachers at higher pay. So if you total all that cost up, that money is part of this $400 that Governor Scott put into the budget. And as I said before, they put it under Florida Sunshine Standards and did away with the words Common Core. That does not appear in the budget this year.
Well, you know as well as I do, Bob, that's exactly what every district in this state that's got international baccalaureate does. They bury the Gulen school money, the United Nations money that's paid out for their curriculum. All that stuff is buried within their budgets.
It absolutely
is. Buried in their audits. You never find it. You have to force them to break it out, which I did get Volusia County to do that.
I did. I got my county to do it, too. So I know how much they're putting out. They're sending, I calculated that they're sending about $500 million to Switzerland each year just to put IB on the top of a few diplomas. And that's a crime.
Well, it is a crime because I firmly believe that most parents do not realize that it actually costs extra money for their children to be in IB, except maybe a little bit like the AP Honors classes, which are a pinhead compared to IB.
Absolutely.
But I know when I was doing Volusia County with their two high schools, they were spending well over $1 million a year, and they've been doing this since 1989. Thank you to ex-commissioner Eric Smith.
Yep.
So, that $400 isn't going to go anywhere. And you know, one of the other problems that's out there, most of the districts' server systems for all these computers are not large enough to handle this. They're going to have to redo those also. This is not a cheap enterprise. And these guys that put this together, Achieve, the national governors, the council on chief, whatever you want to call them, they are nothing but trade organizations. They had no right to do this. They didn't have the right to do the legislation. And Obama knew exactly what he was doing when he was dangling the money in front of them. And he knew what was happening because he gave them 2 months to respond, and all of the legislature and all the states were in recess. So it all came down to money. We want the money. We don't care what we have to do. And, of course, most of them weren't given the rules anyway. So there you are. You're just running around blind.
I have a question for Francisco. Have you been up to Polk County and Common Core?
No, I have not.
Okay. Polk County, I watched a big meeting between Bennett and the school board up in Tallahassee, and Polk County did they took the lead in the meeting, and they were complaining about Common Core as far as funding, and they complained about the computer stations. They're working port and starboard up there. They have half the kids have the morning and the other half the afternoon on the computers to start in Common Core. It might be interesting to talk to the superintendent up there.
Yeah, that does sound like a good idea.
That county made the big presentation at the meeting that I went to for with Mr. Bennett.
Well, I think it would be good to get some people in that area, so I will see if we can scour some Polk County Liberty people to connect with the superintendent.
Yes, and I think they may have the figures too as to how many. I know what way you can look. There was asked for a copy of the Race to the Top audit, and it was a race to the top audit in the state of Florida. That audit would give you a breakdown of how much each county got. Like Miami-Dade got like $132 million. Brevard County here, we got over $7 million to start Common Core. Some of the counties only got $200,000, nowhere near enough to even begin to start Common Core.
Sure.
Bob, did you happen to see on that report how much money Hillsborough County got?
No, they didn't list it. See, they had the figures, but they picked on only five counties to do the actual audit. They went to the five counties, and they singled out Brevard because Brevard had been overstating their student counts for years and years and years and years, and I tried to get them to correct that a long time ago, and they wouldn't correct it. And so they're getting more Title I money, and they're getting more money here and everywhere. So that's how I found out how much our county got. But if you follow up on that report and get the entire report, it probably would give you a breakdown of all the counties.
I ask about Hillsborough simply because she got... In 2007, she got $500 million from Bill Gates for that five-year experiment. And at the time, I didn't quite understand what that experiment was, but then I didn't know about Common Core at the time. And that money was for her to set up a test system with the teachers on accountability. Gates gave them a whole series of things that the teachers had to implement, different type of accountability things. I haven't been able to match them up to the Common Core yet because I haven't had a chance to, but there was supposed to have been a report out on that as a result over a year ago, and if it ever came out, I've seen comments about it from the Tampa newspaper, but it's always been that they haven't seen it yet. So if it ever got done, it just probably went straight to Bill Gates and never got published.
Okay, tell you
what
I'll do.
That was a lot of money.
I'll send you a copy of the Race to the Top audit, and then there'll be contacts in there someplace that you could follow back on to get the entire audit from them.
Okay.
Okay? I'll send you a copy of it.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
Okay, real quick here, we've got Lester was asking a question. How do you get the board to reveal the IB dollars? And then Big Mouth Mom has another question, so I'll let you go ahead and get the question for Lester first, and then we'll get Big Mouth Mom back on the phone.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I have to apologize to Lester because I know he sent me an email and asked me to call him, and I totally forgot, so I'm sorry, Lester. I had to do it through three different Freedom of Information requests. And I can email you the copy of what I used for Volusia County. I worked with Lisa at the www.ibo.com website. Lisa helped me a lot. My original letter was asking for a heck of a lot more, but when I really pushed them, they tried to balk, but they were very good about it. And it was one of the few counties that they never wanted a dime from me. They emailed me the information in PDF form, and then they sent me a CD also. So it just depends on the attitude of your school board. I had a real problem with Volusia County because I just felt that they were so top-heavy, and that's a proven fact all over Florida, that administration, there's just far too much administration. The money's not going to our children's education. It's going to admin, but that's another issue.
You know, it was funny. When I tried to go through and find out how much the IB cost, I was assured by our administrators that it was absolutely free to us, all the IB, we didn't have to pay out anything. And I said, whoa, that's when I went to work on it. and I found out that they're getting the money back from the state and increased FTE. So every time a student passed a test, they get an extra 0.6 FTE back from the state.
Right.
So we're getting our own money back that we're putting into the state. So I proved
it's
that wrong.
It's minute compared to what they charge. I mean, it's just astronomical.
But the other thing was we have two high schools. It's $10,200 a year per high school for dues. And we have two high schools that are just starting out in the IB. So they have zero money coming back from the state. So and they kind of fumbled a little bit when I said, well, where do you get that extra money to send out the dues to Switzerland if you don't get the money back from the state? Silence.
Well, yeah, there is silence. And actually, their rates went up again this year, so that yearly fee is now $10,400. The tests, student registration for the high schools has gone up to $156 per student. The test per per subject per student has gone up to $135.
That's doubled.
Yeah. Oh, it's astronomical. In fact, the registration fee for the middle school is almost $700 a child. I don't know how any of them pay that. And I still say, if it's such a good program, then how come there's no reports on this program? There has never, ever, ever been an analysis report done in the state of Florida since its implementation in this state in 1983 as to its success or failure.
Okay, where you get that information is by going to the individual colleges, Florida State, Florida, and so on. And
I don't want that.
I don't want that, Bob.
I want to know what scores they were getting on the FCAT. They don't break any of this out. How many graduated? How many went on to college? How many completed college?
Well, those people can tell you.
How many were going to IB in high school and went on to college?
They can tell you because it's on their applications coming into college. And I talked with the admissions office, and the admissions office said, I asked, is there any advantage over a student coming in with IB diploma or with AP, a lot of AP courses? They prefer the AP courses rather than the IB diploma. But they can tell you the ratio, how many come in from any of these colleges, and then you can figure it out from there. So it'll give you exactly what you want.
Well, my rationale is that every cotton-picking student that graduates from a high school in this state on IB should be on the National Honor Society and be on applying for National Merit Scholarships, and they're not. If they're that good, they should be excelling in every graduation class in every school that has IB, and it's not happening that way. And why, if the state is putting money into this by paying the counties back, then how come they're not tracking? And not only that, they're giving extra money back to those states. That's not, or those counties. It's not fair to the counties that don't have it. Not that I want them to implement it.
Yep.
It's just, everything is just crooked. It's just everything.
Corrupt.
And then a great big secret.
Yes, that's true.
Diane, this is yes, I'm still here. I apologize, but I do have to run off. But I appreciate you having me on the show, and I'm looking forward to hopefully working together on what we can do in Florida and continue to do, and hopefully I'll get to meet some friends out in Broward County this Friday.
I would love to do that. I talked to Andrew about that too, and I think it would really be a good thing to be able to do. Maybe we can come up with some legislation. By the way, I believe that Missouri kicked Common Core out last week also.
Alabama is working on legislation now, and it looks it looks pretty good. Oklahoma, Andrew just told me they have a little bit, they added a bureaucracy, which in Florida, our parents wouldn't participate in that type of bureaucracy, but it adds some bureaucratic steps which make it more difficult for Common Core to come in, but it requires parental participation. And I think we have, at least in South Florida, that's not an easy thing to request, because parents are fairly pick up and drop off participants. Not all of them, but because of the environment we live in. But
right.
Yeah, I look forward to it, and I wish you guys a great night, and I hopefully we'll talk soon.
Thanks a lot, Francisco. Appreciate it.
Take care now. Bye now.
Bye bye. Is Sharon still there?
I am.
Yes.
Yeah. My question was, and I thought I had read this. I've read so much about it, though, I don't know, that homeschoolers are not safe either, because they're getting all of their supplies and educational material from the state, and they have to be tested based on the standard for the state. So I don't see how the homeschoolers are getting out of or can avoid Common Core.
Well, they aren't.
Am I missing something?
No, you didn't. They can't, and they know it. When I say that they've thought about everything, the way that they're tagging the homeschoolers is twofold. But, of course, this does flow over into the other kids. It's the SATs. If they want to get into college, the SATs are going to have Common Core in it, and if they're not teaching them the Common Core, they're going to fail the SAT. There was legislation up in Tallahassee this time really pushing for a hardcore, not Common Core, but hardcore testing on a child that one was going to have to leave homeschooling or private or parochial schools to get back into a traditional public school. And they got a little carried away with the bill, and it didn't go anywhere. But here again, if you have a child homeschooled or in a private or parochial school, and if they're not working on Common Core, I don't know what they're going to do with them when they go to try to test them to let them get back into a traditional school. I mean, they've thought of everything in this.
So private schools basically are going to be okay because their kids are going to be able to answer the standard. Then we're not going to be able to work out the math the way.
Well, they're not going to be able to answer the Common Core if they've not been taught under the Common Core.
Mm.
I mean, they're not going to know how to do the math that's in there. They're not going to – I mean, if your children that are going to a traditional public school are spending 50 to 70% of their time reading instructional manuals, you can bet the kids in a private school are not doing that.
Right. Okay, that was my question, though, with the homeschooler thing. Yeah.
You know, it's really sad. The only way we can do this is, and I agree with Francisco, and this is why I'm trying to work hard enough to build the numbers up of people to work on this, because if you partner within yourselves, within your counties, what I would like for everybody to do is, you know, reach out to your legislators. I mean, make them talk to you. Make them give you appointments. Ask them questions about the Common Core, and if they can't answer them, then hold them accountable to why they can't answer them, and they're going to implement something like this on the children. I can tell you, these school superintendents and some of these legislators have really, really been indoctrinated, and they've been given these talking points of myths and facts to give to their constituents and say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You're saying this, that this is really the truth. Well, I can show you within the standards that is not the truth. When you have some of the top educators in this country that not only some of them served on the validation boards for the English language and the mathematics, but they at the very least have read them and are not validating them.
Yeah, I read that.
Okay, why would you want to go into something that's going to lower your children any lower than what they are right now? Why would you, their whole focus is to say they're all going to be the same. Well, our children aren't the same. Our children are not Chinese children. Our children are not Indian children. They are taught all you do is get up and go to school. You're not,
let me just give you a little example.
If you don't go to school, you work.
I'll give you an example of that school board meeting, how the presenter handled that our children are not the same question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
His response was, we know kids aren't the same. That's why we're giving the teachers the guidelines so that Jimmy can be taught using this material, Susie can be taught using this material, Alice can be taught using this material, and Jacob can be taught using this material because Jacob is like an AP advanced student. So the teacher can teach each kid based on their level. That was their answer. And I don't know how to come back to that. I don't.
Okay. I watched a program that you might be interested in. It came out of Japan. And the Japanese schools that we're trying to emulate here, it was like we had back in the 1800s. It was like a one-room schoolhouse with all the different grades in the same room. And they had a series of papers that they handed out to the students. Each student had, say, 15 papers. And they start with the first one, and it's building blocks that student would get the first one, do that until he got it right, and then do the second one until he got it right, and the third one, so on. So that's the way they get around this, by having a paper for each one of the students according to their grade. And
well,
they run through them that way.
I have a present for you guys, and I hope you're not sitting over your keyboards because you're probably going to throw up.
Uh-oh.
We now have, and these have been hidden very well, National Sexuality Education Standards, Core Content and Skills K-12, a special publication for your journal.
Oh, yeah.
You open it up, and you go to, well, it's actually, you got to, you know, give pages for table of contents and committees and all this kind of garbage. So you get to page 7, and it says, Rationale for Sexuality Education in Public Schools. The second paragraph states, there is also a pressing need to address harassment, bullying, and relationship violence in our schools, which have been a significant impact on students' emotional and physical well-being, as well as on their academic surveys. According to the National School Climate Survey, nearly 9 out of 10 lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender students reported being harassed in the previous year. Two-thirds of those students reported feeling unsafe, and nearly one-third skipped at least one day of school. Now, they don't state how old those children are. I do know that they're trying to convince our 10-year-olds that they're gay and don't know it, but I'd like to read you something here. This is the standards by grade level. K through second grade. Using the proper names for body parts and including male and female anatomy. Describe the differences and the similarities in how boys and girls may be expected to act. Provide examples of how friends, family, and media, along with the society and cultural influence, ways in which the boys and girls think they should act. Explain that all living things reproduce. Identify the different kinds of family structures. Describe the characteristics of a friend. Demonstrate the ways to show respect for different types of families. Now, see, you know what that brings to my mind? Down there in South Florida, where they let the kids celebrate Gay and Lesbian Week, and the teacher had the girls doing, showing everybody else how you lesbian kiss. This is for me. The whole communist laid out plan. You ruin the finances of the country. You get people to separate by race and by culture. You get them, you get the morals thrown and the values thrown out of the window, and it gets them to the point where everybody's arguing with everybody else, and then they can come in and just swoop down and take control. Now, if that sounds like conspiracy theory, I'm sorry, but that's what I see them doing. And they're finally putting the final nail in the coffin of our children, and they're going to implement this garbage to try to create them into dumbed-down robots. I can't see where... I mean, we've known for years that our children have to read to learn anything. And if you're, and if from the first grade all the way through, you're spending 50 or 75% of your time reading instructional manuals, our kids aren't going to learn. They're not even going to be interested. I mean, I still remember Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer and Nancy Drew. They have to have something that feeds their mind, that gives them a sense of self-worth, of achievement, of all those good things that make them into good adults, laying the groundwork. I mean, let's face it, the parents don't spend as many hours with our children as the teachers do. And everything has gotten twisted and dumped upside down since about the middle 60s. That's when it started. And all of a sudden, the teacher couldn't discipline a student. I had one of my teachers half ripped an ear off a boy, and she never lost her job. I'm not saying that it's the right thing to do and it's correct. I'm saying that all respect has gone out the window. There's no mutual respect, but they don't even have it for their parents, because now they're taught that whatever you want to do, everything is feel good. It's about you. It's not about anybody else. It's all about you, and you don't have to worry about anybody else. It's whatever makes you feel good. And this is where they're getting it. These textbooks are horrible. And then they give you textbooks that honor Castro and Chavez and Mao and all these other weird people. So now they believe that we're the bad guys because we're the capitalists. We're the ones earning the money that feeds them. And they don't see it that way because they want to go out there and just have fun. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I'm looking at the website. I mean, I think you answered my question with the homeschooling, and I was researching the website when you started reading that. So, and I guess I'm on this right one. It looks like what you were talking about.
It's on the website. Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But I will send you my. I don't know how to get in touch with you to send you my information. Oh, I can do it through, info@flcommoncore.net. Never mind. I've got it. That's right.
You can do that, yep. And I'll send you what I got.
Yeah, please. I know we've got, you know, one school board member, the lady that we were speaking with, seems to be against it, but she thinks that it's a shut and closed case and there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, see, and they won't buck the system. I'm going to be speaking in Flagler next month, and Flagler's school board is all for this. They're trying to sell it. And here again, I want them to tell me why they want all our children to be the same. Why they want to go into something like this when highly educated mathematicians will tell you that as far as math goes, by the time they graduate, they're not going to be more advanced than eighth grade. And now our children get algebra in the eighth grade, and they're going to move it to ninth and tenth. How is that advancing them?
It's not.
Well, under Common Core, they start algebra in first grade.
Little bits, but yeah, I'm talking about advanced algebra, and right now they're doing it in the eighth grade, and they're moving it to the ninth and tenth grade.
Yeah, I've noticed
geometry
that.
Geometry is a joke.
Well, the RFP that came out for 6 through 12, they had basic algebra books for 12th graders. And I said, what? I said that sounds kind of funny. But you got a whole new set of textbooks to look at now, and there's going to be hundreds of them coming out.
Yep. You're right.
Well,
I was going to, on that note, just make a mention of the successes and the failures that we had in Tallahassee. Hopefully we can come up with some good bills ourselves this summer and get legislators to present them. But we did get Senate Bill 878 stopped. We're not quite sure. That was the data collection system bill. We're not real sure how it happened. It had been through the House and the Senate and was back in the House, and they basically just walked away from it and left it laying there and died. They actually did the same thing with the parent trigger bill. I don't know if they just didn't want to look like they couldn't get it passed or what. I don't know. Of course, the education finance bill is going to head with the plan for use the Common Core assessments. I'm sorry. And let me see what happened. Yeah, Indiana. Mike Pence is listening to the people. He's not balking anything. Alabama and Georgia have had some problems with legislators that they had in line to support them on some of the legislation and their governors, and at the last minute back out on them. So they're kind of back at square one. We do have some representatives and senators in D.C. that are starting to pay attention to this. And I know I talked to Rubio's office almost a month ago, and the remark from J.R. Sanchez was that he had heard about it, but he really didn't know anything about it. I sent him oodles. I told him, I said, you're asking, you're going to get it. But I have not heard back from him, which doesn't surprise me. Senator Grassley is still trying to work on the Education Appropriations Committee to defund any more grants or anything coming out in either the name of the Race to the Top, which I don't know how many times they can spend that stimulus money, or Common Core grants or anything else, because Obama's got a whole bunch of these lined up, and we need to have them defunded so that he can't try to pass them down and play more games, because that's what's going to happen. Now you're going to have all these districts strapped for money to be able to do anything, and they're not going to have it. Working with Senator Grassley is Mike Lee from Utah, Coburn from Oklahoma, Inhofe from Oklahoma, Pat Roberts from Kansas, Rand Paul, Jeff Sessions from Alabama, Ted Cruz, and Senator Deb Fisher from Nebraska. It's a start to be able to get them to do that. And Congressman, I never can say her name, I think it's Lutemeyer. She's from Missouri, has written a letter to Arnie Duncan with her concerns about the lack of congressional oversight into the Common Core and the process of which he backdoored in putting the changes in FERPA, which is weakening the student privacy without Congress's regulation.
Right, went around the HIPAA laws, waived it, yeah.
Yeah. And Michelle Bachmann signed on to that one, and several other representatives, too, but you know how they're going to pay attention to that. Of course, I understand that there are several county Republican executive committees that are creating their own county Common Core resolution similar to what the national RNC passed. So they're following the guidelines of the National Republican National Committee. However, I certainly can't say the same thing for our Republican legislators. We do need to have a debate set up on this. I don't know how it's ever going to happen, but I'd love to have these people come in and really, these legislators, and be able to stand up there and say, well, why do you support this? I don't know. You know, the powers to be, they want to go back there and hide. The only one that stays out there and takes all the heat is Bill Gates. But he's got the money, so they come clamoring around him for the money. Georgia's Common Core withdrawal bill is still on the table, as is Alabama's. But there's, you know, there's still possibilities of things happening. They hadn't planned on the reaction that they've gotten from the people, that's for sure. And we think that's one of the reasons why they kind of walked away from those couple of bills. So we just have to keep working. Anybody got any final words?
I do. I've been emailing a lot of people in Tallahassee, and do they read these emails, or do they just put a block on there so that if you don't put the right zip code on them, they don't even look at them?
I'm not real sure, but I know that there's an awful lot of authority left with the staffers, and I personally resent that. I went through that last year with Simmons' office, and I noticed that he's doing the same thing again this year. It's not up to a staffer to decide if what I want to talk to the senator about is important or not.
That's
right. It should not matter whether you live in their district or not. If they're serving on a committee that you have concerns about a bill or something happening, you should be able to talk to them.
You know, it was really interesting, too. I tried to contact the Education Committee, and I was blocked. They wouldn't let me talk to any person on the Education Committee.
Well, I will tell you
on the board
that when Randy Osborne was up there in Tallahassee for us lobbying, the phone calls and the faxes got so bad up there that they were asking Randy to tell us to stop. I mean, they were really bombarded with phone calls, and that was even before we've built up the numbers we have just since Sessions been out. So, bless my husband's heart, he sat there at the computer today and entered about 350 email addresses for me from the last couple of weeks. So, that's what we need, because, I mean, I don't intend to inundate people with and mail and garbage, but we need to be able to build coalitions within the different districts.
Well,
and
yeah.
Have you contact your legislators, your ones in D.C., your local ones, corner the school boards, you know, do neighborhood walks. I know it's asking a lot, but you've got a lot bigger database to work on now with homeschoolers. Get a hold of your ministers or the superintendents in any private schools or parochial schools in your area and see if you can't talk to them. See if your church will let you speak to them or the women's groups or whatever within there and just get the word out. I know I spoke in the villages last week. And there's pretty hardcore people up there. I mean, you got engineers and space people and all kinds of stuff living up there. And I had one of the most attentive groups I think I've ever had, because you can tell when you're talking to people whether they're paying attention or whether they're rolling their eyes and going, yeah, right, or whatever. I mean, they really listened. And they know that we've been kind of blindsided a whole lot. And we're just going to have to build these units, and that's why I've just been trying to gather up all these email addresses. And we are going to try to have an event toward the end of July with some speakers that can really go into depth with this. You know, Mary Graber's touring with Tina Trent around the state now with Larry Graffwall. And Mary Graber's done a lot of research on Common Core, and she and Tina Trent both have done extensive research on Bill Ayer's position and how he's put his influence into the education of our children in creating these monsters. They're going to be at DeLand 912 tomorrow night, and we saw them in Ocala on Monday night, and it was really pretty interesting. I learned a lot of stuff that I didn't know in the past. I mean, I knew Bill Ayers was a bad guy, but how all these people that were working within the Weather Underground came out of jail after 22 years, got degrees, and went into teaching.
Yep.
And that's where a large portion of our problem is out there right now. So, I don't know. Anybody, what time is it, Sally?
Well, we've got about 20 minutes.
Oh, okay. I'm winded out. Somebody got something they want to talk about?
Well, I'm just going to go ahead
That's a first.
I heard that.
Well, I'm just going to keep pushing. Common Core is communism. Common Core is communism. People have to just keep that in mind as they're talking about that, because that's what it is. That is the ultimate of what it is. And when you look around at everything that is going on today via the education, the Second Amendment, what the IRS has done to free speech of the Tea Party groups, I thought it was kind of interesting. I'll say the word use interesting when someone said, well, what, the IRS singled out Tea Party groups? Okay, taxed enough already, and IRS, yeah, I would think they might do that. Not to mention, of course, nobody in the White House knew a thing about it. But you take that in there, then you take this deportation of this German family because they want to homeschool their children. Keep the illegals, but deport the illegal immigrants. I mean, it's all coming Benghazi, you know. The treason is all over the place here. Are the 300 million plus Americans, are we going to stand on the sidelines and let 545 anti-Americans take this country down? Is that what we're going to let happen? Because that's where we're at right now. And, I mean, with everything that has been happening, what's out there right now going on, we are on the verge of the cliff. I mean, I frequently say we've already collapsed. We just don't know it. We've been dumbed down to the point we don't even know that the country's fallen.
Well, I agree with you. I started watching the press club thing over the SEAL Team 6 shoot down in 2011, and I'm privileged to personally know Kathy Vaughn. And when I spoke to Kathy last fall, the last time I talked to her, because they've been so busy, but they had received their report from the government on what happened. And she told me then, she said, Diane, 75% of what's in here is a lie. Anybody that's listening, I would ask that you pray that they manage to also get an investigation in this. There is as many questions about those 30 young men that died in that helicopter as there is about Benghazi. And they need to be able to be heard, and they need answers. And once again, the series of events that happened, those young men never should have been in the helicopter they were in. they had six, I believe it was, Afghani nationals that had been working within the compound. I didn't know this until today, that they had been switched out with other Afghanis when this happened, and it just happened that they were up on this tower on top of this roof to know exactly where this helicopter was going to be at exactly what time. And these parents are angry. And I said to Kathy when we were talking, I said, well, I'm surprised that the parents from Benghazi, that you're not hearing more from them. And she said, well, that's because they're still in that first stage of grief. Just let them work through that, and in a few months they'll be creeping out, and you're going to start hearing them. You got to go through that first initial part, and then you're going to really start asking for questions. And I've been surprised that Billy Vaughn was able to get a hold of as many people in D.C. as he was that honestly told him the truth of what happened, or what they were supposed to know and didn't know. It's cover up, it's killing our own soldiers for nothing. I want them home. I want them home. I didn't realize we have over 14,000 maimed men and women from this war. And there is no winning it. The position where those guys in that helicopter from SEAL Team 6 were, they had taken and lost that, I think Kathy said, 5 or 6 times. What's the point? What is the point? I know what I've been told about actually what happened to Benghazi, and I sat and listened to Glenn Beck talking about it today, and I said, Judas Priest, that's exactly what I've been saying for 6 months. That's what somebody had told me was happening. I want them to have to answer for it. If I was a parent of one of those young men or women, boy, I'd be screaming to the rooftops. But I just ask for your prayers for these families, that they get their due and they get their hearings also. They didn't even know, because of how they did the DNA, whether their children were in the right casket. And then you end up having our government give them an imam to stand there and say a prayer over the men and women that were in those caskets that were Christians, and that imam in his own tongue is telling them they're going to hell because they're not Muslims. Damn the American government, and damn the people that are sitting up there. And if we've got that many bosses running this garbage, then it's time we clean the place out. It's out of control. It's just absolutely out of control. Anyway, I'm done. Thank you.
Okay, well, but that's it. And if you don't understand that this is all... We got a lot of work, but if we all come together, and Sharon was out there, we're back and forth in the chat room about critical mass. We know that there's enough people, enough Americans are engaged in this discussion, but the truth is we've got to come together. Thank goodness we have the internet, since the news media has been so corrupted in its own way, and even to that extent today, with everything that's been happening with the AP, the recording and taking all their records and all their phone calls and all that other stuff, tapping the calls. Right now, we actually have the media who's annoyed with this administration and who's annoyed of being abused. So right now, we've got a certain momentum going right now, and we've really got to keep it going. And we, you know, people talk about the impeaching of the White House occupier, which I personally, there's definitely reasons to impeach him. And we're not talking about having sex in the Oval Office or anything, you know. There's some real reasons that are destroying the country, you know. I mean, Benghazi is a lot more important to us and this other stuff that's going on than what Clinton did there. Well, of course, Clinton probably could have been impeached for a few other things, but we won't go there right now. But the thing is, he should be impeached. He should be challenged what he's doing, and he should be impeached. And little by little, we're getting more momentum. I keep hearing some talk about the GOP doing something about Obamacare, but I'm going to hold my breath until I see. I won't hold my breath to see what they do on that one.
Right.
But I mean, there are so many things right now to come down on this administration and bring them to their knees and bring down every liberal progressive, because I don't care what stinking party they're in. John McCain is about as liberal progressive as you get these days. He never used to be, but he is today. And, you know, I think we've got an opportunity right now. We just really have to make sure every one of us who's engaged in this discussion knocks a few others on the head and say, would you wake up and do something? And then we all take our own actions to do something about this right now. Stop the illegal invasion of this country, which is what illegal immigration is, and all the various we've been talking about. Now we have got to really take this momentum and say, this is our country, and we're going to go back to the Constitution, whether you idiots like it or not. And there is some march being planned on D.C., but I don't know exactly the details on it. I've seen things for saying an armed march and a disarmed march. I don't really know exactly what's going on, but you know what? If there was going to be a true march on D.C., I'd be there. Somehow, some way, I would be there and say, you know what? We're packing your offices up. You're going home.
Yeah.
D.C. is safer if nobody's here than what you morons are doing.
That's right. They couldn't do any damage if they would, get them out of there.
So, well, let's see. We've got you guys still out there. Any last words with... Well, it looks like Sharon is... Sharon, you're still there. Any last words you want to share with us?
No, other than I'm so glad that I joined the call. And,
I am too.
Because I really have taken a couple of pages of notes of things for me to at least help improve myself on, as well as help others. And I am just grateful that folks like Diane and Dr. Ephraim, I believe her name is, and the lady from Heritage, can't remember her name. I am just grateful
Leslie.
For Leslie Burke. Yes, I'm just grateful for people like that who are at least trying to give us some information so that, because reading through that Common Core Standard website, it's not the easiest thing, and trying to read between the lines, and it's helpful having somebody who has some kind of legal background in order to kind of interpret some of it, because, I'm a simple woman, but I'm not stupid either, but so... Are you there?
You're an American.
Oh. It's been very helpful. I am definitely grateful for this tonight. And I didn't realize Francisco was into it so much. I knew him from somewhere else, maybe through Andrew and Abby. I don't know.
Could be.
Yeah, maybe. So, but I didn't realize that he was into this. Yeah, I may have seen him comment, but I mean, it's been very helpful. And I've been involved for several years, and I know how to walk neighborhoods. I've done it for, the last 5 years. So I already know how to do that, know how to reach out, and I do know how to talk to people. I'll be honest with you guys. I am totally on board with this as like a communist undertones. I don't present it that way because it seems like every time somebody does that, to average Americans who aren't maybe as engaged as we are, you can see their eyes glaze over, they shut down, and they don't hear a thing you say. So I'm one who's trying to present it with being careful the words I choose to use.
I want
more on board rather than more moving away from it.
Yeah.
And that's true, too. And, just a couple years ago, saying the word treason was really, if you said treason, you the T word, people would look at you again, this conspiracy thing, but little by little, people are realizing it. And when you go and you piece it, you say it's one world order. That's Agenda 21, sustainable development. They've all heard sustainable development, one world order. You can point that to it. It's just one world order. Then when they start thinking about what that really means, then they come up with the word communism. You don't really have to feed it to them. Once they start and you say, well, look around at what's happening to us, what they're doing to our education, what they're doing to our Second Amendment, what the IRS has done to these groups who oppose the government. Being an American means you have the right to oppose the government. That's what we are, you know. So when you say, here's the various things, and you kind of, you have to lead them down the path, because you're absolutely right. There's still those who think of the conspiracy loon routine, but little by little, we're able to make people truly realize. And I mean, this is true from people I've been talking to for 5 years, and they're saying, you know, Sally, you're right. This really is happening. And what are we going to do now? I said, well, you got to stop watching football and you got to get involved.
That's
you know?
Right. That's right.
Absolutely.
So, I am grateful for tonight. Like I say,
well,
I've got
you for calling
pages
in.
Of notes, and I'm sorry if I took up a lot of time. I did not mean to.
You're
I'm just
fine.
Like freaked out about my Broward school superintendent and his background. I am freaked out about it, I will tell you.
I'll just keep researching him.
I've got a couple of pages on him. I've already done it. That's how I found out what I did find out. It's insanity, and you know, I'm not wasting my breath or my time on him. I'm going to try to reach the school board members.
Yeah. Oh.
Because
okay.
I don't want to tip him off that. I don't want to tip him off to too much because I'm sure the school board members will come to him. I certainly don't want to, you know, give him my playbook.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, like you say, avoiding the word communism. When you explain to people what I have been doing, to me it seems to help, and they again come up with the word communism on their own in no time at all, is that what this school, the Common Core plan, is modeled after how they teach kids in China and in Russia, where they're given they're many hours in school, they're taken away from the family. What they're allowed to read is very controlled. That's why they want the electronic technology, so they don't have the open access to the books and they can modify the information. It's very much a controlled learning environment. The whole idea is to limit it, to censor what the access is, and that is what our White House occupier has called the transformation of America. He said it, not us. So,
right.
Yep. You know, he definitely said it.
Yeah, he did.
So,
and people didn't
more
quite understand
point.
What he meant by that, but I did.
Yeah.
Right.
And his wife, Michelle Obama, said, we have to rewrite history.
And change our traditions.
Exactly. So here we are. This is no longer a conspiracy. It's what they said they were going to do. That's what they're doing. It did not start with the Obamas. And
no,
they cannot do it alone without two corrupt houses of Congress helping them.
That's exactly right.
That's absolutely right.
Anyway, well, thank you so much on that. We're down to just a few minutes. You have any words of wisdom, which you want to talk about maybe next week, Diane, or we're working on that?
I'm still working on that. I'm going to talk to Mary Graybar tomorrow night. I think people might find it interesting to really find out the in-depth of the influence that Bill Ayers has had on this Common Core. This is a project of his also, along with Bill Gates and his friend of over 30 years. I'm still trying to figure out if she was with the Weather Underground too or not, but Linda Darling Hammond, who also worked on the English language arts, is, in fact, Bill Ayers recommended her to Obama to be the Secretary of Education, and he picked Arne Duncan instead. She is actually the person that wrote C-Scope that's in Texas. So that tells you exactly the kind of people that are involved in creating these standards. For me, that would be enough to tell me I don't want to have anything to do with them. I wouldn't have to be bothered to read them. But so I was going to talk to Mary tomorrow night when she's talking, so.
Well, that'd be great.
Have a surprise.
And, you know, there is one thing for everybody listening, whether you're in Florida or any place in this country, because Mr. Rubio is out there across the nation talking about immigration and all this other stuff, call Rubio's office, Senator Rubio's office, ask him his position on Common Core. I keep doing it, but everybody needs to go out there and ask him about the deportation of a legal immigrant family being deported because they want to homeschool their children. You know what? He's out there knee-deep in this immigration. He ought to be able to answer that question, and we need everybody to call his office and ask that. We really got to put the pressure on it.
Well, what's happened to that family is horrible. They came into this country. They did everything right. This is a blatant, just a prelude of what they intend to do with homeschool.
Homeschooling?
Because they don't like it. Because they don't have any control over it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a steady decline of our rights and where we're going to. You don't have to say the C word if you don't want to, but this is where it truly is all going.
Right.
And this is
right.
Just one more example of it. What does it say when an American family can't homeschool their children and when you deport the legal immigrants while you reward the illegals? What does it say?
Right.
You know, it's massive. So, anyway, we are down to the last few minutes here. Thank you so much. I think this has been an excellent show. I've definitely enjoyed the conversation. I tried to stay out of the way most of the time and listen and play in the chat room.
Oh, that's you.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, American statesman.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
This has been an excellent discussion, and I definitely look forward to it next week to continue it. And
how can
also,
I subscribe to you? Can I subscribe
you
to
go,
you?
You can follow when you're on the homepage of American Statesman Blog Talk Radio. There's a little box for you to say, follow me, follow the show.
I don't see it. I'm in Truth About Education, American Statesman Blog Talk Radio. I don't see that.
There should be a little box on the main page. You might have to go back out of the show because you're into the show episode now.
Oh, okay.
So you may need to go
right.
back one page, and then you just check it to follow, and then as we have new shows, you'll get an email telling you what the show is about.
Okay, perfect.
So that would be great. Thank you for doing that. And,
cool.
Yes. So, anyway, tomorrow night for everybody knows, well, I'm very concerned, obviously, with the education and all of these issues. I got involved as a, I call myself an engaged American, in the transportation problem, which is massive to Agenda 21 and the One World Order. And we're going to be talking about that tomorrow night. So please tune in if you can and stop having them sell off our highways to the foreign corporations, which is literally what they're doing right now. Selling off our infrastructure to foreign corporations. It's disgusting. So, okay. Well, one last shot.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good
Have
night.
A good week.
Good night.
Stay safe.
And may God bless and protect the USA. Good night, everyone.
Here, good night. Good night.